All right, so today we're diving deep into the Spiritual Sikhs Confucianism mini quiz.
Interesting.
Yeah, we both love these quizzes.
Always thought-provoking.
Exactly. And today we're going to use these questions to really unlock deeper insights into Confucian thought.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so the first question asks, which concept in Confucianism refers to the ideal relationship between ruler and subject? And the choices are rectification of names, zengming, filial piety, or legalism.
Well, the answer is zengming,
Of course.
also known as the rectification of names, right?
Right.
It's a core principle emphasizing the importance of aligning titles and roles with actual conduct and abilities.
Yeah, make
Like,
right.
imagine a world where someone could just call themselves a doctor with zero medical training.
Oh man, that reminds me of that time I went to a computer expert
Oh, yeah.
who couldn't even fix my Wi-Fi.
Oof. Yeah, big mismatch between the name and reality there.
Exactly. And it makes you realize how crucial this concept is for trust and order in society, right?
Absolutely. Confucius believed that when names and roles are aligned, it creates harmony and stability. So a ruler who embodies true leadership, qualities, inspires respect and loyalty.
Makes sense.
And then the subjects who fulfill their duties responsibly contribute to the well-being of society as a whole.
It's like that saying, walk the talk, right?
Yeah.
It's not enough to just have the title.
You got to live up to
You
your
have to
duty.
embody it. Yeah.
Totally.
So if zengming is all about ensuring actions match words, how does that tie into the concept of ren, which is all about humaneness and compassion?
That is a great question, and actually, it leads perfectly into the second question in the quiz.
Yeah.
In Confucian thought, what is ren?
Okay.
Is it the virtue of benevolence or humaneness, a ritual ceremony, or a form of government?
I'm going to go with the virtue of benevolence or humaneness.
Okay.
But I feel like there's more to it than just being nice.
You're right. Ren is often translated as benevolence or humaneness, but it's so much deeper than surface-level kindness, you know? It's about cultivating empathy, understanding, and compassion for others. It's about striving to become the best version of yourself and not just for personal gain.
So ren is like the driving force behind those actions
Yeah.
that align with zenming.
Exactly.
So a ruler embodying ren would naturally strive to live up to their title and responsibilities.
Absolutely. Think of it as like a ripple effect.
Okay.
Ren inspires individuals to act with integrity and compassion, which contributes to a more harmonious and just society.
Right. It's like that story about Confucius encountering the grieving woman
Oh, yeah.
who chose to stay in a dangerous place.
Right, because she's like, there's no oppressive government here.
Yeah. She prioritized living in a just and humane society, even if it meant facing personal risk.
Yeah, powerful example of Ren in action for sure.
It is.
Really makes you think about what you value most in life.
Definitely, for sure.
So that brings us to our third question, and this one focuses on the role of lie in Confucian ethics.
Okay.
So the question is, what role does lie play in Confucian ethics? Is it? It prescribes proper conduct through rituals and customs, it promotes physical health, or it dictates legal codes.
Okay, well, I know lie is about rituals and customs, but it's more than just knowing which fork to use at a fancy dinner, right?
Right.
I'm going to go with. It prescribes proper conduct through rituals and customs.
You got it. But
Oh, don't.
encompasses a wide range of those rituals and customs, from formal ceremonies to even everyday
Oh,
etiquette.
so like bowing in Japan.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Or even just the simple act of saying please and thank you.
It's so interesting how those small acts can have such a big impact on shaping interactions and creating a sense of shared understanding.
Absolutely.
It's like those invisible threads
Yeah.
that weave together a harmonious society.
I like that a lot. These rituals, while they may vary across cultures, serve a common purpose
Okay.
to establish respect, to maintain order, and reinforce shared values.
They really do.
They provide a framework for navigating social situations with grace and consideration.
Yeah, and that framework, that sense of order and respect, ultimately contributes to a more peaceful and harmonious society.
Right.
It makes you wonder, though, what rituals do we just take for granted
Yeah.
in our own lives, and what purpose do they truly serve?
That's a good question. Now let's shift gears a bit to a more knowledge-based question. The fourth one here asks, which text is not part of the four books central to Neo-Confucianism?
Okay.
The options are Spring and Autumn Annals, Analects, or Mencius.
Okay, confession time. I'm not super familiar with the specific texts of Neo-Confucianism. Help
Sure.
me out here.
All right, so the correct answer is the Spring and Autumn Annals.
Okay.
And while it is a significant historical text, a tribute to Confucius, it's actually part of the five classics, not the four books,
Got it.
that form the core of Neo-Confucianism.
Okay, so the four books would be the Analects, Mencius, Great Learning, and Doctrine of the Mean. And
Exactly.
what makes these texts so important in Neo-Confucian thought?
Well, they became central to understanding and interpreting those Confucian principles, especially under the influence of Zhu Xi, a key figure in Neo-Confucianism.
Okay.
These texts provided a framework for examining moral cultivation, social harmony, and the pursuit of knowledge.
So if I want to understand the evolution of Confucian thought, I should add the four books to my reading list.
For sure, yeah.
Speaking of evolution, let's talk about filial piety,
Okay.
or Zhao, which
Right.
is a cornerstone of Confucian values.
Yes.
The fifth question asks, what does Zhao represent in Confucian values?
Yeah.
The options are filial piety, or respect towards one's parents, detachment from everyday concerns, or military prowess.
Well, the answer is filial piety or respect towards one's parents.
Okay.
But as with all Confucian concepts, there's a deeper layer to unravel here.
I was going to say, it's not just about like being nice to your parents, right?
Right.
It's about recognizing the importance of family as like the foundation of a stable and harmonious society.
Yeah.
It's about honoring your elders and learning from their wisdom and experience.
Exactly. Zhao emphasizes respect for parents, elders, and ancestors. It recognizes the interconnectedness of generations and the responsibility we have to carry forward the values and traditions passed down to us.
So it creates that sense of continuity and shared history,
Yes.
which in turn contributes to social stability and harmony.
I agree.
It really makes you think about how different cultures approach the concept of respecting elders
Yeah.
and what we can learn from those variations.
Totally. But before we dive into that, let's tackle this final question of the quiz.
Okay.
Okay. It focuses on a key figure in Neo-Confucianism, Zhu Xi,
All right.
it asks. Who was responsible for synthesizing various Chinese philosophical traditions into Neo-Confucianism?
Interesting.
The choices are Zhu Xi, Muzi, or Laozi.
Little Confucian history lesson. What do we got?
All right, so the answer is Zhu Xi.
Okay.
He's considered the architect of Neo-Confucianism, blending elements of Buddhism and Taoism with those classic Confucian principles.
So he wasn't just like regurgitating the old ideas. He
Wow.
was like reinterpreting and evolving
Totally.
Confucian thought for a new era.
Exactly. Zhu Xi emphasized the importance of rigorous study, self-cultivation, and the pursuit of moral perfection. He believed that by understanding the underlying principles of the universe, individuals could cultivate their moral character and contribute to a harmonious society.
And his ideas had a big impact, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
His interpretations of Confucianism became incredibly influential, shaping the education system and civil service examinations in China and other East Asian countries for centuries.
Wow.
Think about it. His work influenced how people learned and how leaders were chosen.
Talk about a legacy.
It is.
We've covered so much here from Zhen Ming and Ren
Yeah.
to Li and Xiao. And of course, we can't forget the influence of Zhu
Of course not.
It's amazing how these ancient concepts still resonate today.
It really is. It speaks to the enduring power of Confucian thought. But before we get too carried away, let's take a pause and pick up the thread in part two of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
Okay. It really is remarkable how Confucianism,
Yeah.
despite originating centuries ago, still offers valuable insights for navigating the complexities of modern life.
Right.
I think that's what makes these quizzes from the spiritual Sikhs so compelling.
It's true. They provide a fun and accessible entry point into exploring these like rich philosophical traditions.
They do.
It's like a little mental workout.
Yeah.
But for your values and worldview,
I love that.
what stands out to you though as like particularly relevant from what we talked about so far?
What strikes me is the emphasis on like interconnectedness in Confucian thought.
Okay. Yeah.
From the ideal relationship between a ruler and the subject, like in Zhen Ming,
Right.
to the significance of family in Zhao,
Yeah.
it all points to the idea that individual well-being is completely linked to the well-being of society as a whole.
Like that old saying, no man is an island.
Right.
Our actions have a ripple effect,
They do.
influencing those around us and shaping the world we live in.
Exactly. And this idea is central to the concept of Ren.
Okay.
It's not just about being kind to those in your immediate circle, it's about recognizing our shared humanity and striving to create a more just and compassionate world for everyone.
It's true. It makes you think about how often we get caught up in our own little bubbles
Yeah.
and forget about the bigger picture.
For sure.
Maybe a little Confucian philosophy could help us all, like, broaden our perspectives.
Maybe.
And reconnect with our shared humanity.
It could. I think that's a powerful insight. Confucianism encourages us to step outside of ourselves and consider the impact of our actions on the wider community. It challenges us to cultivate empathy, practice compassion, and contribute to a more harmonious world.
It does, and that brings us back to liticity.
Okay.
The art of ritual and etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
It might seem like a small thing.
Right.
But those little acts of courtesy and respect actually play a vital role in maintaining social harmony.
They do. It provides a framework for navigating social interactions with grace and consideration.
Right.
And it helps establish those clear boundaries and expectations,
right? Right.
Which reduces conflict and fosters a sense of mutual respect.
It's like by adhering to those shared rituals,
mm-hmm.
we're acknowledging our interconnectedness and contributing to a more positive collective experience.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that even the smallest actions can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
But how do we balance the Confucian emphasis on tradition and respect for authority
mm-hmm.
with the need for progress and individual expression in the modern world?
That is a great question.
It seems like there could be some tension there.
Yeah, and it's a question that Confucian scholars have been grappling with for centuries, you know?
Right.
The key, I think, is finding that balance between upholding the core values
mm-hmm.
and adapting to the evolving needs of society.
Mm.
It's not about blindly following outdated customs,
right.
but about extracting the wisdom embedded within those traditions and applying it to contemporary challenges.
So understanding the spirit of the tradition.
Yes.
Not just the letter of the law.
Exactly.
Finding ways to honor the past while still embracing the future.
I like that.
Yeah.
Confucianism at its core is a philosophy of human flourishing. You know,
yeah.
it's about cultivating virtue, building those strong relationships, and contributing to a harmonious society.
And those principles are just as relevant today as they were centuries ago?
They are.
It's pretty inspiring to think that an ancient philosophy can still offer, like, guidance and wisdom for navigating the complexities of modern life.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should all make an effort to incorporate a little more Confucianism into our routines.
I couldn't agree more, whether it's practicing mindfulness and compassion,
right.
engaging in respectful dialogue, or simply taking the time to appreciate the interconnectedness of all things.
Yeah.
There are so many ways to bring those Confucian principles to life in our own lives.
It's true. This deep dive has given me a lot to think about.
Good.
And for all of you listening out there, we encourage you to continue exploring these ideas and see how they resonate with you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like we uncovered this hidden treasure trove of wisdom, you know?
Yeah.
Tucked away in this Confucianism mini quiz
mm-hmm.
from the spiritual Sikh.
It's a good one.
And there's still so much more to explore.
There is. And you know what I find fascinating?
What's that?
Is that Confucianism,
yeah.
unlike some other philosophical traditions, doesn't shy away from the practicalities of, like, a daily life.
I guess so.
You know? It offers guidance on everything.
Yeah.
From personal conduct, family relationships, to even governance and social harmony.
It's meant to be lived.
Yes.
Not just, like, pondered in an ivory tower.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's funny you say that, because I was just thinking about how these concepts,
yeah.
they just seem to weave into the fabric of everyday life.
They do.
Like, take listen, for instance.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
not just about stuffy ceremonies and formal etiquette.
Right.
It's those small acts of kindness and consideration that we often take for granted.
Right.
Like holding the door open for someone or offering a helping hand.
Exactly. It's about cultivating that sense of respect and mindfulness
yeah.
in all our interactions.
It really is.
No matter how big or small they are.
And those small acts, when practiced consistently, can have a huge impact on our relationships and our communities.
Absolutely, like a ripple effect of positivity.
Speaking of positive impacts,
yeah.
I'm curious about the role of education in Confucian thought.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on Zhu Ji's influence
yeah.
on the civil service examinations.
Right.
But what's that broader Confucian perspective on learning and self-cultivation?
Well, Confucianism places huge value on education and self-improvement.
It does.
It sees learning as like a lifelong pursuit.
Yeah.
Essential for both personal growth and societal progress.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in
yeah.
that core concept of humaneness and compassion.
Right.
It's not something we're born with.
Right.
It's something we cultivate
Correct.
Through study, reflection, and practice.
So it's not just about acquiring knowledge.
It's for knowledge's sake. Right. It's about using that knowledge to become better human beings.
Yes.
And contribute to a more harmonious world.
Exactly. Education in the Confucian sense is about nurturing our moral character.
Okay.
Refining our understanding of the world. Yeah. And developing our capacity for empathy and compassion.
Wow.
It's about becoming well-rounded individuals who can contribute positively to society.
I think this deep dive has been such an eye-opening experience.
Me too.
It's amazing how those ancient Confucian principles still hold so much relevance for us today.
It really is a testament to the enduring power of wisdom, you know?
It is.
And the human desire for meaning and connection.
Yeah.
And I think if we can take even just a few of these insights to heart,
mm-hmm.
I believe we can create a more compassionate, just, and harmonious world.
I couldn't agree more. So to everyone listening, we encourage you to keep exploring the world of Confucianism.
Definitely.
Take what resonates with you.
Leave the rest.
Leave the rest.
After all, as Confucius himself said, the man who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones.
Love that quote.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yes, thank you.
And until next time, keep seeking knowledge.
Keep seeking.
And keep asking questions.
Absolutely.